You know, during other times of national turmoil, many people have sought comfort in their churches or synagogues or mosques. But those places are inaccessible to us now as a result of social distancing requirements. So I wanted to talk to some faith leaders about how they've been able to serve their congregations while still keeping everybody safe. I recently spoke with Rabbi Victor Yurecki of the B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston and Pastor David Johnston of the Concord United Methodist Church in Athens. Each has begun offering services online. Rabbi Yurecki says his digital services are reconnecting the synagogue with former members who have since left the state.
Religion by its nature is community-oriented. It's to be together. The word religion means to bind oneself. And I always thought to bind oneself not necessarily to God, but to each other. And the very fact that this pandemic has made it that we cannot be together has forced us to rethink and reimagine what religion can be in the 21st century under these circumstances.
Rabbi Yurecki says that before the coronavirus, the Sabbath was always observed in very specific ways. But doing things over the internet has forced the congregation to evolve.
The Sabbath, for example, in our traditional Jewish world, we do not use electronic devices. But in order for us to stay connected, we are going to have to use that.
And so, despite how foreign this was to Rabbi Yurecki and his congregants, B'nai Jacob Synagogue began offering services through the video conferencing app Zoom. Down in Mercer County, West Virginia pastor David Johnston started trying to stream his services online, too.
That first Sunday just got on Facebook Live, but I'm here in southern West Virginia, and internet isn't always what one would hope it would be, so we found it a little bit too choppy.
So instead, Johnston switched to pre-recorded videos of his services, which he then posts to YouTube.
If I thought Zoom was something that would work for us here, I would love to do that because I think it better approximates what worship is, which is about us gathering as a community to worship God, to tell these stories that make us who we are.
One major adjustment for both the pastor and the rabbi has been continuing to observe religious holidays even though they can't see their faith communities face to face. On Palm Sunday, for example, Pastor Johnston went and delivered palm branches to the porches of his church members' homes.
So what I did is to, you know, try to help people think about where they are as being a church, even though they're not all gathered with people. Some of them are on their own, but I gave them the liturgy so they could read that story and start outside their home.
I created a Zoom Seder with some contemporary components where people could either record it and then use it in their Seder later on that night. They could do it live, so they would have in front of them the same objects that I have in front of me as I did it, or they could add new stuff to it, or they can just listen and visualize the story. What I tried to emphasize for my congregation quite a bit is, while ritual is very important, in our tradition, the story is equally important. And I think the pastor will agree on that. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And it's also the story of disciples who down through the centuries have explored, studied, used ritual, and used their imagination to keep that story going for the next generation. It is not lost upon me as we're recording this that tonight we begin Yom HaShoah, which is Holocaust Remembrance Day. And Jews were able to remember the Exodus from Egypt even in the concentration camps. Now, obviously, they didn't have the provisions that we had in front of us very easily. And yet, they passionately, vibrantly, and with a great deal of enthusiasm, celebrated even in the most horrible of conditions. They were able to tell the story, and their stories that we now have through the memories of survivors become powerful reminders of how religion is maintained, even under the most adverse situations. So the very fact that we can't take communion fully, the very fact that we can't celebrate Passover fully, adds to the fabric of the telling of the religious stories that are meaningful. So the stories of 2020 will be part of the fabric of 2021, 2022, 2023, where we'll be talking about, do you remember what we did and how we kept the traditions of our people going? And who knows, you know, one day I will be, hopefully, may I live and be well, telling my grandson, who was too young to experience the Passover fully, didn't know what was going on, but I said, you know, when you were just a baby, this is how we celebrated in 2020. I know it sounds weird, but that's how important that celebration was to us. And we did some really interesting things. And those become part of his narrative that he will tell his children, God willing, one day about how his grandfather, a blessed memory, kept the tradition going.
That's a really beautiful thought about the ritual connecting us to the story. Rabbi, as you were talking, I was thinking about how the story of Passover is a story of people huddled in their houses waiting for God to do something. And, you know, the story of Easter, after Good Friday, the disciples go and hide themselves away and wait to see what happens. So in both stories, there's this element of people being closed in, away from everybody else. Do you think that having to practice this social distancing has maybe brought the stories a little more alive in the hearts and minds of your congregations?
What I would like to look at is what it has done for congregants who have maybe taken for granted the stories and the rituals, things that we do because we know that's what we're supposed to do. We kind of go through the motions. This year, we didn't go through the motions. We had to reimagine and recreate. Next year, God willing, and hopefully there's a vaccine by then and life will turn to somewhat normal, I think we'll look back on this moment with a greater appreciation than of the things that we've been taking for granted. So maybe precisely because of these hunkered down moments, that's how religion becomes reawakened. We take it for granted for too long, and we need these moments to kind of reset it and remind us of why we're really doing it, why it's important to us, and how we keep translating and reimagining. I'm reimagining and rethinking what Judaism needs to be for this congregation. As the pastor knows, we're a small mom-and-pop congregation because the Jews are very small here in Charleston. We never thought we needed anything electronic to be Jewish in West Virginia. Now we're discovering, well, you know what? There is a great thirst among people that maybe are too far away to be a part of our community. That is a reawakening and something we kind of took for granted and we didn't think it through. And so these are going to be, again, from the challenges will come opportunities.
You know, eventually it'll be safe to go back to church, to go back to synagogue. But I wonder, do you have any vision what that's going to look like?
This online presence we now have is something that I hope we can continue because it helps us reach more people and different people than we would before. Because even before this, I have congregation members with compromised immune systems who are ready for like during flu season, stay home and just miss church for 4 or 5 months out of the year. And they have been so thrilled that they've been able to come back to worship before they would have otherwise. And like I said, since we've connected with people who don't normally come to church too, I mean, a lot of churches were already online and they know this, that there are people who will watch for a certain amount of time online before they ever darken the doors. And it's really made me think about something my dad told me some years back. He was very active in going on mission trips to Cuba with the Methodist Church of Cuba, which is growing quite rapidly. And I happened to go on one of these trips with my dad, and their church building was not much more than a picnic shelter. I mean, it was a roof with half walls, open air, bench seats. And when we would hold church, I mean, it was packed out, people standing outside, but there would also be quite a lot of people walking up and down the street, which was not normal because we were around the church helping fix it up other days. But what my dad told me is that one way the church there has reached new people is because, you know, in Cuba, it's hot and they don't have air conditioning, so the windows are usually open. But it means the music and the message and what's going on kind of wafts out and people can look in without having to come in. And that's what I think this turn to digital has done, is it's opened windows into what we do, where people who are curious can look in without that sense of risk of having to step through the door, you know, like Rabbi Yarecki was saying. And so I hope we can keep the windows open so that people can stay curious about these stories that we tell.
It almost takes something cataclysmic to force us to rethink and reimagine. I think that's kind of what happened here. And it took something like this to say, well, temporarily we have to do something different. And we're reluctant. We don't want to do it. And I'm thinking back to myself in terms of, oh my gosh, how is this going to happen on Sabbath and festivals? And yet, because we were forced kicking and screaming into this new reality, at least temporarily, I started to discover there are some opportunities here. There are people outside of West Virginia who want to be a part of our community still and will always be a part. And there are people, as the pastor said, that cannot, for whatever reason, come to services. And we kind of said, well, we're too small to do that. Well, now we're discovering We're not too small to do that. We're big enough to do a lot of neat things. And so I think post the coronavirus pandemic, we are going to look at the pieces here and not just say, okay, well, I'm glad this is over. Now let's go back to normal. But wow, there were some really neat things that happened during this time. How do we incorporate that into the religious life of our community? And as a result, we will be, I think, a stronger community.
That was Rabbi Victor Yurecki, rabbi at the B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston, West Virginia, and Pastor David Johnston, pastor at the Concord United Methodist Church in Athens, West Virginia. Thank you both so much for coming on today and speaking with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Zach.